Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Nicholas Upchurch, and welcome to Believe. Here's an excellent clip from our show where we help you to attain true success. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to Believe. I'm Claudia Suarez, and definitely you know that here we find your truth. You know, we want you to succeed, and Believe is there for you. We have beautiful topics on our website, which is money and business, true success, health and wellness, world news, our universe, and definitely we always have interviews all the time that you can listen to on our YouTube channel and also on iTunes. You can check us out on iTunes, believeiTunes.com, and also our website, www.believe.love, and youtube.com, Believe Loves You, and Android users, believeandroid.com. So you can check us all over, and you'll see beautiful interviews. And right today, as you can see in the background behind me, we have a wonderful, exciting person that I'm going to be interviewing for you, Alisa Dare Nelson, which she's a certified strength coach, author, podcaster, and speaker. You don't know how much you're going to get out of this interview. She helps business owners, CEOs, and leadership teams develop their natural strengths and overcome limited beliefs by focusing on and developing their strengths. Her clients learn how to catalyze their businesses, better personal relationships, and start a living and happier lifestyle. This is what our coach is doing for so many people. Alisa, welcome to our show. How are you?
Oh, Claudia, thank you so much. It's such an honor to be here. I'm so excited for this conversation.
Oh, well, I am excited to have you too, Alisa, because you know what? One of the things that really impressed me about you is your values. You know, you talk about, you know, the number one is God, health, family, integrity, empowering others, compassion, growth, providing for the family, which is so important, financial success, and quality time and joy. You know, that really impressed me in your website because, you know, most people don't really think too much about all those things. And yet they're so important, you know?
Yeah. You know, what's super interesting is when I first sat down to do what I call a values exercise, which I actually walk people through in my book, I found that when I was really honest with myself, my priorities were not in this order. My values were not in this order. And so that's why at the end of the day, when I put my head on the pillow, like things didn't feel right. You know, and I didn't feel like I was successful because I was putting more time and energy into values that were really, were still important, but further down the list. And so when I went through that and I realized, you know, my children are important to me, but they can't be my number one value. They can't be the number one thing because there's all these other things. If I'm not my best me, if I'm not taking care of myself spiritually, if I'm not putting everything into my marriage, guess what? I can't be the best mom. And so I had to fix that and figure it out so that everything was in line. And now I can put my head on the pillow at night. And of course, I never get enough done, right? There's always more that could be done. But I feel good about what I did get done and where I did put my time and energy.
Well, let me tell you, I am just wondering, this is one of my, you know, key questions. How did it all start for you? Because, you know, here you are involved in gymnastics, you're a clinical dietitian, and all of a sudden you turn out into being a coach and being, you know, an author, a podcaster, a speaker. How did it all start for me? What clicked? What was... You know,
oh man, what a journey. What a journey. One of my favorite books is The Alchemist, and the reason is the journey. It's how I was able to really embrace my own journey. Because after I was a dietitian, then I became a registered nurse. Like, I have two degrees here, and now I'm working not in healthcare at all, right? So, it's just like, how does that even happen? And I grew up, you know, being very achievement driven, but then always not feeling like those achievements were good enough. And so, I had, while on the outside, I looked really well put together. I had a very low self-esteem. I didn't think I was good enough. And so I found myself in the midst of a divorce and really had to get real. with myself about, well, this was the path I was supposed to take, and I'm not succeeding. You know, I'm now failing at marriage. And you know, things aren't right here. So I had to dive in to figure out what is right with me and how can I heal and how can I move forward and how can I really be the best me? Because I also heard most of my life, well, you have such great potential. And I'm like, where is it? Where is this potential you guys are talking about? And now I'm finally beginning to live that out. And it really starts with getting real with yourself and going, why am I here? And what is it that will make me happy? Where are my values? And it's hard work. Personal development is really, really hard work.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of my biggest questions, did this happen, all this development in your life, did it happen after your divorce and then your new marriage? Because I know you're married again, which you need to tell us about that too. But how did it all begin? Did it begin after you got married again or right before you got married again?
It's so interesting because as I look back, I can see where the seeds of it were. When I was a gymnast, even at age 10, 11, 12, my coaches would say, you're the leader of this team. When there was girls on my team that were substantially older than me, but they saw me with that leadership. I don't even want to call it skill because it wasn't skilled at that time. Mm-hmm. And then my parents got frustrated with me when I was 16 because I was rebellious and I always questioned the rules and all of those things. And they sent me to a Zig Ziglar conference.
Oh, wow.
So I'm sure many of your viewers, listeners, you know,
yes,
people know who Zig Ziglar is, right? He's like the most epic of motivational speakers. Mm-hmm. And I was really transformed by his message. And I thought, someday I wish I could be like that.
Wow.
And then I put it all away and I followed the path that I thought I was supposed to, you know, went to college, got a good degree, bought a house, got a career, had kids, marriage, the whole kit and caboodle. And I had to kind of come back to it and go, wait a second, I think that was something. Right. And so it started back when I was 16, going to a Zig Ziglar conference all by myself because my parents just wanted me to like praying that something would help this rebellious girl. And now here I am, you know, much, much later going, oh, that's actually what I'm doing, like getting on a stage and helping people to really seek out their best them and help them understand what that is. So it's kind of a neat sort of full circle.
Wow.
I'm
impressed. I mean, most people, you know, think it's easy to do what you're doing, but I'm sure it's taken a long time to develop to the person that you are today, especially, you know, most people think, oh, I want to do this and try to do what you're doing. But I mean, what are the steps? I know to be successful, I know you coach CEOs and you coach people, but did it take a long time where it actually developed, you know, into a business to where you started making money with this?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. So when I first started, I decided that I wanted to be a coach, that I was mm-hmm. already sort of doing this anyway. Post nursing, I went into direct sales, which was not the right path for me, but taught me lots of lessons the hard way. And I sought out coaches during that mm-hmm. time of my life. And I was like, wow, like this person's helping me understand myself better. And I read a ton of books. And so I sort of got, you know, street education with all of that and hiring my own coaches and learning what resonated with me and what didn't. And when I found the StrengthsFinder profile, that is when I was like, I need a certification in this. Like, I need a legit education here. And so I took a 30-week long certification on the StrengthsFinder profile because it wasn't enough just to be able to spout someone these strength themes. I wanted to teach them really truly how to apply them and how to make them transformational. And so education, I think, is a good part of that, is a big part of that. There are no, and I think it's coming soon, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but there are no restrictions on who can call themselves a coach. So you could, you know, decide today that I'm going to be a coach, and tomorrow you could put it on a business card and go be a coach. I wanted to make sure that I could actually help people, not just because I'd hired a bunch of coaches before, but because I had something that I had educated myself on and been through to learn how to ask really good questions, to really be able to pull the best of people out of them. Because that's what a great coach does. Is a coach doesn't necessarily come in and train and tell you this is what you're going to do. That's what a consultant does, a strategist does, a trainer does. But a coach will yank it out of you. And that is a skill.
Okay. So this is what a coach actually does. I mean, you as a coach, and of course you help CEOs and all that. What are the steps that you take to help people? I mean, do you approach them first, or how do you get your clients, by the way? I mean, how do you approach them, and how do you lead them into that success?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, people come from a lot of different paths. The first couple of years of my business, I built completely in person, going to networking events and connecting with people one-on-one. Okay. And then I ventured into the online space, which is very different. You know, starting a conversation with someone online is much, much different than approaching them in person. And I had to learn how to do that because that had always come naturally to me. I could walk up to, you know, anybody and start a conversation, but doing that online is a very different skill. So I had to learn some things about online marketing. And I did decide to do a lot of podcast guesting to help get my word out. And so I also had to figure out what shows is my person in the audience of, and you know, not just throwing spaghetti at a wall and just going, I'm going to be on any show that will take me, really vetting those shows that not only approached me, but that I approached to make sure that I could be of value. So, in the online space, especially, it's leading with that value and helping them to see, who I am, see my personality, see my heart, and then give them an aha that goes, ah, I want to hear more about her, right? And so that gives them the reason to reach out and say, I think I'd like to have a conversation. And so then that's what we do. We have a 30-minute conversation to see, you know, where are you? And what are we a good fit to work together? Do I believe I can help you to reach your goals? And do you also believe that? So we're really interviewing each other in that session. And the best part, and this is something if you're in sales that I would really encourage you to do, is to be really unattached to the outcome. The only thing that I care about out of that 30-minute conversation is that that person has made the right decision for them at that time of their lives. And if that right decision is it's not a good fit for us to work together on my part or their part, then that is the best thing. And so I can leave happy from the conversation, regardless of whether that person becomes a client or not. And that's what I believe is if it's the best thing for them to walk away or for me to say, hey, I'm not the coach to help you with this, but there's this other coach who can help specifically with this, or there's this consultant that I really think you should talk to. I'm happy to send people in a different direction because I don't want their money. I want their transformation.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. It's a busy wife. You know, you're a mother, a business owner. What was the process of writing your first book like you for you? I mean, because I know you have this beautiful book and you got to tell us about it. I mean, how do you do it all?
Oh my goodness. So I equate writing your first book with having your first child. It's like this really great idea. And then you're like, oh yeah, well, I mean, millions of people have done this. I can do this too. And then you sit down, you commit to it. And suddenly you're like puking your guts out. Right. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is so hard. And you can't really go back on it. Cause you know, the way I do accountability is I really put it out there. So I put it out there to my podcast audience. I put it out there, you know, and in some Facebook groups that I'm a part of that will keep me accountable. Like I'm doing this. And then I was like, I can't not do it now. And then I kind of hit my stride with the content of the book. And then you finish it up and you think you're just about there. Mm-hmm. And it gets really hard right there at the end when you're doing all the last minute edits and, you know, the third round of
editing.
How long
did it take?
You know, I was really blessed. It actually took me about 6 months end to end from the time that I was like, I think I'm going to do this to actually holding it in my hand and having it published. And I did self-publish. I learned a lot about self-publishing and the do's and the don'ts. So if you want to know about some of the do's and the don'ts, I can certainly talk about talk about that. But I didn't even have a budget for this. I mean, this is how most first-time parents go into parenting. Like, well, yeah, sure, diapers are going to cost something, but it'll be fine. And then you're like, oh, you know, it's so much more expensive than you think. And then this little draft book, you know, comes in the mail, and I'm like, it's so much smaller than I thought it would be. Like, this was so painful and it's so small. And intentionally, I mean, we cut about a fourth to a third of the book out, because I didn't want it to be fluff and superfluous. I wanted people to be able to read the book, get all the value out of it, and that it would be really packed, but that it wouldn't take them, you know, 14 years to read through it.
I love the title. From frustrated to freaking awesome, 4 steps to achieve the success you're wired for. What did you want to mean by that? Because I think most people can relate to it, right? We get so frustrated with our lives that we don't know what direction to take. I'm one of them. You go this direction, what direction, you know? And sometimes we give up trying. Yeah. Because it is frustrating, like you said. But then now you say it can be awesome once you make it, right? Is that what you're meaning?
Right. And at every turn, it can be more awesome. So I outline this freaking awesome process in the book. And I encourage people to go back to it every quarter. And I will admit, I mean, and I admitted it in the book, like, I'm not always perfect with this either. You guys, like, you know, sometimes it's 6 months. I'm like, oh my gosh, where's the time gone? It's time for me to revamp. But, but in the cycle of that, you learn more about yourself and you learn, you know, what did I learn in the last 6 months? What did I learn in the last 3 months? And what does that mean for my goals ongoing? Are they still my goals? And so, you know, I spend an entire chapter of the book asking reflective questions, so that at every turn, you can spiral up instead of just spin your wheels. Because what we tend to do is we tend to go, well, I'm going to try it this way. I'm going to try it this way. And then we just go, well, I'm just going to go over here and try it this way. But we don't evaluate what happened that this didn't work over here. And so we just try something different. But if we can evaluate that and figure out what worked really, really well there and what didn't, now we can tweak it and we don't have to reinvent the wheel over here or just go, oh, well, you know, if Tim Ferriss does it this way, that's why I'm going to do it. Or if, you know, Grant Cardone does it this way, even though your personality and your strengths are nothing like Grant Cardone's, well, then it's probably not going to work, but you're going to try it anyway. You're going to fail and you're going to feel like a failure because it worked for him. It didn't work for me. So really understanding what does it take to actually make a plan that is aligned with me and that will actually help me play to my strengths. Because when you play to your strengths, that's where the joy comes.
Wow. Well, you know, that's one of the things that most people don't ever think about is, you know, how important it is to make the right decisions when you're deciding on whatever you're doing, from being a coach to, you know, like you're saying, writing a book and not to give up. And I admire you because no matter what, being a mom, doing all these things, getting involved in gymnastics, because it takes a lot of work to be involved in gymnastics. It's not it's not one of those things that you just do and, you know, whatever. No, you really have to really get involved. And I think you probably got some of that enthusiasm because gymnastics is very competitive, you know, and that enthusiasm. But what made you change from being in health and, you know, dietitian and all this to doing this? You love this more than you did the other job?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because when I was creating my coaching business, my coaching practice, the coach I was working with said, well, Alyssa, why are you struggling with the name of your business? Why are you going to let that hold you back? And I said, because I have to have a name. Like I got to be able to call it something. And he's like, do you need me to tell you what the name of your business is? So I was like, just give me an easy one. Yes. Just tell me what it should be named. He's like, it's you. It's you. And I thought, Alyssa Nelson, like Nelson Coaching, like that's boring. That's vanilla. That's, you know, Minnesotan, which I am totally a proud Minnesotan. But then in the next breath, I was like, but this is what I was put on this earth to do. And then it came to me that who I was born was Alyssa Dare. And ironically, when I got remarried, I took back that identity. I took back my maiden name as a legal part of my name to sort of reengage that initial identity. And so Dare, that's how Dare Success Coaching was born, is that literally I was put on this earth to do it. And I was Alyssa Dare when I was put on this earth. But that journey through all of that, and no education is ever lost. You know, I like like I said, I was a dietitian, registered dietitian, 4-year degree, and all of the internships that went along with it, and the tests and the certifications and the registrations and all of that. And then went back and did the same thing for nursing. And now, you know, I have people, my nursing friends especially, were like, well, what are you doing? How can you leave what you worked so hard for? And the answer is, I don't ever waste my education. I can still take that with me. And what's beautiful is I can actually help my clients who may have some medical things. Now, I don't give medical advice, but if they're like, oh, my blood pressure is high. Okay, well, I can actually use my nursing skill. Mm-hmm. And my nutrition skill to give some additional guidance there that I wouldn't have if I wasn't who I am, right? If I didn't have that education. And one of the most poignant places that this has actually shown up for me is a little over 2 years ago, my oldest daughter was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, mm-hmm. which is an autoimmune disease. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what you need for a background there is nutrition mm-hmm. and nursing. Wow. And I had both of those things. And it was one of those moments where, you know, for most parents who get this diagnosis for their child, and it is really scary. Your kid is usually so sick when you get diagnosed and all of these things. There was a peace because I knew that I had the background to handle this. Whereas most parents are like, I have no idea. They're so ill-equipped. And they get like, you know, like garden hose or a fire hose of education those couple of days that they're in the hospital. And I could actually process that. And I thought, mm-hmm. what a blessing that I have this background that I'm not technically using, but that I get to use. So you just never know what your life experience, what your education will bring to you in a positive way.
And to another client, you know, clients that may come up with a certain issues and certain things because some people don't know. And that message is so important nowadays. I'm really into health and wellness a lot mm-hmm. because it's so important, you know, to let people know, you know, to really educate people. Because unfortunately, a lot of people are not educated in a lot of things when it comes to their health and how to prevent certain things. Because like, for example, now that you share that about your daughter, I mean, you know, is it, you know, a lot of people don't know, is it hereditary? Did she develop it because of her nutrition? Were there certain foods that created this problem for her?
Or were you a bad parent? You just gave her too much sugar. I've gotten that before. And it's like, well, wait a second. It's actually an autoimmune condition. And, you know, so I take the opportunity to educate people instead of get so angry. It's okay. They just don't know. And the truth of the matter is that there's so much information out there mm-hmm. that it really is, even for the most educated of people, to sift through what is true, what's not, you know, was this study, you know, paid for, you know, bought by the people, like the results, right? Did, you know, is it a legitimate study? Is it not? Yes. And most people are going to look to a news article to evaluate that study versus go read it. And so to find the real information takes a lot of work. And there's all this emerging science that's coming out about how our bodies work. And so honestly, what I learned when I was in school a long time ago to become a dietitian, a lot of that actually isn't true anymore. Okay. And it's not because I was fed lies, but it's because we know more now. Mm-hmm. So that continual learning with mm-hmm. health and wellness is also mm-hmm. super, super mm-hmm. important.
Because there's more research now, Alisa. There's more things coming on, Alisa, and that's what's happening. You know, now we have Google and we can Google anything and find out information more depth.
Right.
But changing the subject, you don't believe in the notion of work-life balance. Can you explain why?
Especially for people who work out of their homes, you know, things don't really separate. So what I do believe in is work-life harmony. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even if I am out of the office at a corporate job, for instance, I'm still a mom. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't get to just check that at the door and be like, not a mom right now. I'm a worker. I'm a manager. I'm a supervisor. I'm a CEO. I don't get to check that at the door. I still own all of those roles, even if my focus is in the boardroom or even if my focus is with the client or even if my focus is with the child. Right. So no matter what, all of those instruments are playing. And if we can get them to play the same tune, Now it's beautiful music versus mm-hmm. I'm going to close the door here. And now I'm going to be mom over here and I'm going to be right. So the balance idea forces us to compartmentalize everything. And the harmony allows us the space to be all of those things. Right. Women have a difficult time in the boardroom because they feel like they have to show up and be like tough and masculine. And that's changing, which is beautiful, but it still feels that way. And if a woman can actually show up and go, you know, this decision that we're making in the boardroom, I'm affected because I'm a mom. And so this is what's playing, so part of what's playing into my, how I'm feeling about this decision. If we can bring all of who we are into the spaces that we're in, no matter what primary hat we're wearing, now we've got harmony, and harmony is beautiful.
That's great.